That book just came out. And a year ago, he was writing that Cancellara was Luigi, and he got corrected by Thomas Dekker. Now, he got corrected in a direct message from Thomas Dekker. None of that. Those two have met multiple times. Phil had him on his podcast and was over at Thomas Dekker's house in the U.S., which is some girlfriend that lived in Beverly Hills. I guess you're some wealthy financier or something. But they're over there and they're having, you know, long conversations and they're talking about these ideas. So this is something that Phil's known about. So he specifically was told and corrected, as he mentions there on Twitter, back in November of 2016. But they go ahead and publish a book where he says, "I'm pretty sure that the Blood Bag's codename Luigi belonged to Cancellara." Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Between Two Wheels podcast, legal edition. So coming to you, recording this as well on video so that we can have kind of a display. I'm going to try to put in some visuals and also link them to the show page for what I have in mind today. Today I'm going to talk about Phil Guymon and his possible defamation case. Now, do I actually think it's likely? That's kind of what we're going to talk about here, and to see if there's actually going to be some sort of liability tag to Phil Guymon for his comments and his written statements to that of Fabian Cancellara. Now, with that, we're going to do a little breakdown, kind of a legal analysis of how an attorney would work through this, kind of how the courts would work through this, to see if there's anything that Cancellara may have. Now, I've found something doing a little investigation with this that I don't have seen posted out anywhere. I've seen a little mention of it, but nothing that takes it down the road that I found. It's kind of the smoking gun, kind of the deep throat, if you will, the behind the scene, a deep dive into this, and you will see basically my analysis of why I think Phil Guymon is possibly liable, but most likely a major douche, okay? And it has nothing to do with Fabian. It has to do with Phil and what I believe is his outright dishonesty. So we'll get into that in a little bit. First of all, let's just take kind of a throwback to Phil's book and Draft Animals, what it's called. And I got a copy, and here's the significant part that we'll read here. So in the Operation Puerto scandal, I'm pretty sure that the Blood Bag's code name Luigi belonged to Cancellara. But it gets better. He dominated time trials and one-day races with such ease that conspiracy theorists suggested a hidden motor in his bike. I dismissed it until I heard former teammates talk about certain events where Cancellara had his own mechanic. His bike was kept separate from everyone else's, and he rode away from a who's who of dopers. When you watch the footage, his accelerations don't look natural at all, like he's having trouble staying on top of the pedals. That fucker probably did have a motor. Phil Guymon, Draft Animals, Chapter 22, page 214 of the version I had. Okay, so from that initial statement, you actually have two items that are possibly actionable, okay? The first one that we all know about, that we've heard over and over again, is the issue of the motor. Did he have a motor in his bike? And he's outright basically coming out to a statement, that fucker probably did have a motor. So he tries to give himself a little leeway. But here's the interesting part is the first section talks about Operation Puerto and the Blood Bags. I'm pretty sure that the Blood Bags codename Luigi belonged to Cancellara. Okay, so that one he's making a little more affirmative statement as to the probability of who it is. Not saying probably, he's saying I'm pretty sure. So he's given himself more than 50% chance, it looks like there, that that's what it is. So let's look through the defamation case. And Cancellara also has a little bit more of a hard step, and we'll break through this. But being as what we consider a public figure, the mode to getting defamation liability on that is a little bit more difficult. However, I think I can prove definitively with some empirical evidence that Phil Guymon, while he may not be liable for defamation, he definitely is liable for being a douchebag. Okay. So what is defamation? Defamation is, so it's a tort, and basically it's an elemental thing. So you've got basically like a checklist of requirements that need to be met for the, to have liability exerted to Phil Guymon. And in this case, so Phil would be the defendant, Cancellara would be the plaintiff. And you have two types of defamation. You have libel and you have slander, okay? Libel is the written form of defamation, which we have here. It's a book. I mean, we'll break through some of these kind of analysis pretty quick, but it's a book, it's written, but it's also slander. Slander would be that of the verbal. So you can have, you know, radio, podcasts, broadcasting out in any other kind of way that would be in the verbal form, and that would be slander. Well, you audiobook, I guess you could have. So, and you also have libel. So either one, we're going to take you down that path. And the only difference on some of those is you know, if you're just saying something to a neighbor, that might be more difficult in actual proof of that. But, you know, either way, we have an audiobook or we have a written form. Okay, so defamation. It has multiple elements need to be met to in order to be liable. Number one, the plaintiff must prove that the defendant made a false and defamatory statement concerning the plaintiff. Okay, so the plaintiff must prove that. So you've got Cancellara, he's got to make proof that Phil Guymon actually said something that, about him that was false and that it was defamatory. Okay, the next issue is the plaintiff, Cancellara, must prove that the defendant, Phil Guymon, made an unprivileged publication to a third party. And we'll break down exactly what that is in a second. But basically, you have, actually, just do it right now. So, you know, an unprivileged publication. Unprivileged. So, you have privileged publication. Those are governmental, such as, you know, in the floor of the Senate, governmental meetings, judicial inquiries, those kind of things where you can make statements about another party. And they could be defamatory. You know, you see that oftentimes Congress or in the Senate, some people are saying some outrageous things about each other, and it's all allowed. They're privileged from defamation. So there's, if it's in that kind of situation, it's the privilege. Well, here is just Phil writing a book, so it's unprivileged, and then it's publication. And it's just got to be a third party, it's just one other person besides himself. So I bought the book. He's published it to me. You know, the publisher has that there, and it's putting out the book. So that's an easy one to have. The plaintiff must prove that the publisher acted at least negligently in publishing the communication. Okay, so the negligence standard is one that the common person would know that they're doing. They have a duty, and the duty would be, in this case, he's an author. The publisher would then have the duty to do some intelligent investigation. But what we're going to look at here is if this is a public figure, because then it's one analysis you have to look at. Cancellara, if he's just your neighbor and he's not any public figure holding himself out there as some sort of, you know, public person, it's only the negligence standard. You can't just say something about your neighbor. And, you know, if you believe you're right and you did a little bit of research and you're wrong, you know, you may be negligent about it, and that's enough to get that to you. But if they're a public person, just saying it negligently is not enough. You've got to have malice. So Phil would have to be shown to be saying these statements with malice towards Cancellara, which is a very hard statement. We just had a case not too long ago. It was during the election. The New York Times had written something about Sarah Palin and about years ago and mentioned her, you know, when she was targeting and districts. And then there was a shooting, Gabby Gifford or something like that. And basically, she sued the New York Times, and, you know, what they had said in their article, was they had to retract it, and it was pretty damning, and it was incorrect, but they actually won the lawsuit. So it's not easy to get on a public figure. They let a lot of things go. You know, so when Donald Trump's out there making threats all the time about, you know, he's going to sue someone, well, a lot of that is just an empty suit, and it's an empty threat because it's not going to go anywhere with public figures. So you've got to show malice. So malice, you've got to basically show that even though they've gone and they've done the research and they've done it negligently, now they know that something is demonstrably false and they're going to make that statement regardless. Then there's also analysis of, is Cancellara in the U.S. even considered a public figure? I would say yes, quite easily. I mean, he's and the book is disseminated over and throughout Europe. And that's a lot of audience there as well. So I think the argument that he wouldn't be a public figure would be a hard one to do. So, okay. And then in some cases, you need to prove special damages. Now, we can go through the analysis here, but it is also, there's a thing called defamation per se. And defamation per se is basically on its face that it's defamatory, okay? And these are, to make it easier for you for the analysis, the courts have actually had four different distinctions of what defamation per se actually is. Okay. And let's just go over some of those right away. So basically, if you're having those and they fall into one of these categories, then you've got an easier step going through the court of making any analysis to actually say this is defamation. Okay. So in conditions that a person was involved in criminal activity. Okay, so doping is illegal in many foreign countries. So that'd be a possible argument that his comment right away was defamation per se. Indications that a person had a loathsome, contagious, infectious disease. And so if Phil had said something about, you know, Fabian was motorboating doping, then never mind. Maybe that's not it. Indications that a person was unchaste or engaged in sexual misconduct. I think we can see above on the motorboating. Indications that a person was involved in behavior incompatible with the proper conduct of his business, trade, or profession. So Fabio Cancellara is retired, but this might not qualify, although he still does have like some fondos and some hill climbs, which he's actually brought Phil into to see, you know. So if he's got it on the per se, look, you don't take a defamation case and expecting to go right down the per se aisle. But if you can get it in that section, then your steps, like I said, towards liability are much easier. Okay, so let's just go through some of the negligence stuff that we have here, the defamation. So Phil made a statement. It's defamatory. I think we can say that, right? It doesn't in any way point a good light towards Cancellara. Whether he's motor doping, let's go down that one. So you got a motor doping, you know, cheating in his business, and that would obviously cause a lot of repercussions. Basically, saying he's not the kind of cyclist that he has claimed to be, and you know, outright cheating in the sport, not just doping, but outright, you know, putting a motor. And we've talked about that before, which just seems very loathsome. Okay, so he made a publication. It was defamatory. Now, was it negligently done? So. I believe the negligence standard Phil did not do a ton of work with, right? And it's questionable. And honestly, I mean, I think we say Fabian is a public figure, so you've got to get beyond the negligence. But I'm going to go down and let's just say all that's the case, right? And then you would have to talk about damages. And what has Fabian actually incurred damages? Well, as of yet, not really. He's already out of the sport. He's trying to put on these hill climbs. And maybe you can tie something into that. However, if it is shown, you know, he let's say something. Well, see, and he would have to. This is the proof section. The defense for defamation is the truth. So Phil would be saying, "Look," and this is the problem. Why I think Cancellara. Look, they put out a letter that is basically. It's from his attorney. It's a threat, basically saying, pull the book out, you know, stay any more publishing. And what Cancellara is hoping to do is to maybe get something out of that. But I don't think they really want to go down this route maybe Cancellara does. Because to show damages, he would have to be losing something, and that maybe, you know, getting titles taken away. Well, the only way that's going to be done is to show that actually Phil's the one that's been the truth. So they're not going to go down that. Now, if he was actually doping, because they'd go through the discovery process and they'd be able to do a bunch of things, you know, power files, talking to the mechanics, talking to anybody else out there. Maybe they'd be able to depose Fuentes, and they'd be able to go down that route too. But here's the problem. Here's the problem I have with the Phil thing. So as soon as I heard the thing about Luigi, I remembered back to Phil Guymon and his buddy Thomas Dekker. So Thomas Dekker is a Dutch rider. He rode up through Rabobank, and he then was caught doping and was suspended and took the guilt and said, that was me. Ends up talking to Jonathan Vaughters later on after he'd done his penance in his time. And he gets hired by Garmin Sharp or whatever the team was at the time, and ends up riding, I think, 2 years for them. Did kind of lackluster when he came back. But he and he's written a book since then talking about this. But basically, he has admitted to doping, but he's admitted a little bit more of something than that. So here we have a tweet. And this goes out from Phil Guymon, November 12, 2016. So we're talking about a year ago. And then he's put in here, and he had, I guess, posted something about Cancellara being Luigi in Operation Puerto. And he goes, when you post something about Cancellara being Luigi in Operation Puerto and you're corrected by literally the best source. And then he shows a screenshot of a direct message from Thomas Decker. And Decker says, I am Luigi Classicimo Mano, whatever. Basically, he's Luigi. And Gaiman replies back, wait, what? And Thomas says, at Fuentes, dot, dot. And then Felix says, no shit. Okay, so we have that a year ago. So that comes out a year before his book. Now let's go back to his comment here. In the Operation Puerto scandal, I'm pretty sure that the Bloodbag's code name Luigi belonged to Cancellara. That book just came out. And a year ago, he was writing that Cancellara was Luigi, and he got corrected by Thomas Decker. Now, he got corrected in a direct message from Thomas Decker. None of that. Those two have met multiple times. Phil had him on his podcast and was over at Thomas Decker's house in the U.S., which is some girlfriend that lived in Beverly Hills. I guess she's some wealthy financier or something. But they're over there and they're having, you know, long conversations and they're talking about these ideas. So this is something that Phil's known about. So he specifically was told and corrected, as he mentions there on Twitter, back in November of 2016. But they go ahead and publish a book where he says, I'm pretty sure that the Bloodbag's codename Luigi belonged to Cancellara. Okay. Personally, I think that could be, well, one, it's very negligent. Because if you've done your research and then look, he's going to say it was a negligent issue. Because once again, now he's gone beyond the negligent standard and he's back up to malice. He's got to be showing that he's really doing this out of spite and to harm and to really hurt Cancellara. That's what the malice is all about. Matter of fact, there's not many elements where malice is involved in law, except for, well, murder is one, and you have this one, defamation, but I mean, there's some other ones as well, but very few. So you get the malice here. It's got to be pretty nasty. So was Phil actually guilty, and did he do this in a... Look, the argument I think you'd take on this form is maybe he forgot about it. I don't know how you forget about that, especially when it's your buddy and you were called out on it. And not only was it just a tweet, which I found, right? But there was a bunch of articles. If you just Google in Thomas Decker, Phil Gaiman, you know, Cancellara, Luigi or something like that, you're going to get multiple articles. This was an article on Deadspin, okay? It's not a cycling news. And the article's written, once again, November 15, 2016. One of cycling's great doping mysteries has just been solved. Okay, and it's a whole thing about the Fuentes, the Bloodbag's raid, and talking about, you know, how the names were on there. the writers that Fuentes referred to as Classicimo Luigi were never unmasked. But speculation that recently retired superstar Fabian Cancellara was Luigi began to pop up in 2018. Cancellara is one of the greatest soccer... Anyways, it goes on to this, and then it talks about tie into Tyler Hamilton kind of making that disparaging remark as well. Disgraced Fuentes patient Tyler Hamilton went to the tour of California that year despite being banned for doping and heckled the rider he thought was Luigi. Hamilton never confirmed that he targeted Cancellara. All right, and then later on, actually, Lance goes in there as well. So it's pretty interesting. Anyway, so I think malice is something you have going on. What does this all mean for Phil Gaiman? Well, the likely outcome is probably not much of anything. I doubt Cancellara is going to take this to the extreme and really go through the whole process based on the fact that the discovery itself is going to be very invasive. But what does this mean for Phil Gaiman on a personal level? Well, one, he's either really sloppy in his research. Now, I need to read the rest of the book to see how the rest of it fits into this, what I would consider a sloppy analysis at that point. No, the analysis isn't sloppy, but a sloppy research. I don't know, is his publisher, I mean, they have a stream of attorneys that they should be, you know, reviewing these kind of aspects and the parts of the book to make sure that there's not going to be a problem, because they have something to protect themselves. What about Phil's own process of this? This isn't just, you know, maybe I made a mistake about a race and someone was there. This was something that was very definitive. And like I said, there was multiple news stories written about it, not just in the cycling world, but Deadspin and some other those. And, you know, multiple people have jumped on the bandwagon, and basically no one seems to remember that Luigi has been tagged as Thomas Dekker, that he took credit for it, and that Phil knew about that at the time. That seems to me to be pretty extreme. Did Phil go after Cancellara with malice? I mean, did he do this in a sense? It is a small portion of the book that he does seem to, using the word, the F word, he does tend to show his disdain for Cancellara himself, and the fact that he's still putting this in the book when he's been shown to be false. Now, it seemed like to me the thing with then to be is to go back through the book at the time of the writing and say, hey, Dekker has since come out and said that he is the person, and that he is Luigi. Maybe there's two Luigis and you can have some nuance there, but that wasn't done. Or even go back through the book itself, the late publishing point. Maybe he was concerned, or he put the book out and it had already been written at the time that he found this out, but it had been published. So you can definitely make corrections to that. What do we have with this, with the whole thing? I don't know that there's going to be any kind of real legal battle, but I think it should point towards Phil. And I've heard multiple people talk about the, and I actually mentioned this, about the first book, where there's a lot of discrepancies between what they foresee as the truth and what Phil has put out as the truth. So Phil's version of the truths at this point now, it's all subjective, and I don't know what to believe on any of it. What else has not been confirmed that he just decides is bullshit and that he wants to put out there anyway. So my idea is Phil seems to be an outright, do you call him a liar? I mean, he's very a dishonest person at this point, and to put this out there in the public medium seems to be a disservice to his book in general and kind of the whole process that he was trying to make. Anyway, that's an analysis of the legal aspect of defamation. Once again, malice is very hard to prove. I think Phil has definitely ventured down that road, and he's well beyond the negligence standard because he knew something was true, and he chose he knew something was false, and he had the truth, and he chose to ignore it and publish it anyway. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate this. This is going to be up on YouTube and Facebook, so enjoy it. Like our page, Between Two Wheels Podcast, that's on Facebook, and like and subscribe to this show and share it around. Thank you.